Thanks for listening in. I'm Wade Taylor, just taking care of several things here. Glad to have you back on the coaching show, and glad to have back on the microphone Chris Dobroselski. He is the owner of Monumental Results, which you can find at monumentalresults.com. He is an expert in the area of fitness, thus being a spokesperson for the American Council on Exercise, and you can learn more about them at acefitness.org. And so you can always turn to Chris, again, at monumentalresults.com for all your questions about specifically fitness, fitness programs, staying fit, mental attitude, and creating effective change. And that's what we had him on the show today to talk about, is the mental aspect that everyone in the coaching world is trying to work with people on, as well as affecting change. You did a great job in the last segment in helping us understand, as you say, I'm going to read right from the cover of his book, which is Going the Distance. I'm assuming we can find this at Amazon and such?
You sure can. You can purchase it on monumentalresults.com. Or see some of the expert commentary on goingthedistancebook.com.
Goingthedistancebook.com. Well, very good. And as it says on the page, small consistent change over a significant period of time leads to monumental results. And so you helped us in the last segment understand patience, small steps will get us where we're going. So we've got to instill confidence in our clients, in the people we're working with, that our plan is going to work out. Just have the patience for it. But now, as we're leading people through this, we can discover some blocks that they may internally have, where they're asking you, hey, Chris, get me in shape. I want to be in the best health of my life. But, oh, by the way, I really love Twinkies. And so I'm going to be sneaking those between training sessions. And those stretching exercises I'm supposed to be doing at home, I'm not going to be doing any of those. But they're not consciously doing it. It's just, this isn't their habit. This isn't their pattern. This might be a little bit uncomfortable. Or they might have an underlying subconscious reason, right? How do you recognize that disconnect and address it in as much as you can?
Well, I think it's really important that we stay in the behavioral realm.
Okay.
Understanding the psychology piece, which is, of course, a behavioral element, is really important in terms of people's resistance to change. And the American Council on Exercise has a certification called Health Coach. And it's a masterful certification that deals with weight management, lifestyle changes, and general health and physical education issues for the general public. And in that, the certification really focuses on just what you pinned up there, which is people's resistance to change. It's not abnormal. It's actually the norm. So
right.
As coaches, we should expect the resistance to change as part of our process guiding people. So for starters, when we connect with clients, we need to know that that's likely going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to help them be aware of that. So that would be the first point.
Okay.
A good friend of mine, he's a prominent psychologist in town. His name is Michael Mantel. A good friend. He actually contributed to my book in a couple of ways. His position is the link is what you think. The link is what you think. So when, as coaches, we're meeting with people for the first time, when we're doubling back with people, when we're going over process, it's really important to identify and pay attention to what people are thinking and what they're saying. And what they're saying is not necessarily what they're thinking.
Yes.
So a good coach is wears many hats, but that key one being listening discerningly and then helping people become aware of the disconnect between their goal and stated behavior and their actual behavior. And then, again, it doubles back to our first segment, and I can't overemphasize it, helping them with that cognitive dissonance and then taking them to the watering hole for a new way of looking at it, a new way of framing it verbally, and then behaviorally, what is an alternative to the kind of difficulties, mistakes, shortcomings that they're running into thus far in the process.
Okay. So identifying it, but I imagine one of the challenges, or let's say, and I don't want this to, you know, detract from that, is getting them to acknowledge. So I'm curious, how do you handle fundamentally when you have to bust them, right? When they're saying I'm doing X and you can tell from some kind of metrics, yeah, you're not doing X, right? Or I'm cleaning up my diet. Okay, well, let's wipe the creamy filling off your top lip before we, you know, get into the exercise. How do you tactfully correct them?
Excellent question. I try and continue to try because I think it's the way people learn the best. I try to really be a reflective listener, and assertive but reflective, and help them hear some of what they're saying, right?
Okay.
So some basic active listening techniques are paramount for that dialogue. Then there are those people where you can active listen and Carl Rogers the whole way, and you're not going to get there. So with those types of people, you know, I have to be far more assertive and say, well, if you think you're on the 80% on track and 20% off track, let's take a look at lunches over the last week. Or let's take a look at your adherence to the goals we set in your physical fitness training program. For my corporate people that are trying to manage stress and that are blowing up because of that intellectual and mental stress, we'll talk about, well, how did you do on these three or four situations or the however many they mentioned? And we will literally take a look at percentages. And I do get people to try to give percentages on their different goals for that very reason. I can say, well, five in and outs this week, that doesn't sound like 75% on track with lunch and these sorts of things. So I really plug into listening, helping them hear what they've said in very strategic and direct ways. And if they still don't make that connection, then I feed it back to them even more directly saying, hey, that doesn't look like 75% to me. But I go to that piece last because people learn best when they figure out their problems. Now, again, not vaguely. We will do it keenly. It's their time and money, and I respect that a great deal. But people grasp the message the most when they come up with the solution and say, hey, you know what? That meal isn't that green. Or you know what? The stress is eating me up as much as it was, or I'm back up to, you know, two beers a night instead of the two beers a week situation.
Right. Well, and that is great. There's somebody I work with has a saying that I'm going to completely mangle, but it's something like a man convinced against his will is not of a different mindset still, or something like that. And that's the, you know, I'm going to push the horse's head in the water. Why isn't he drinking? Like you said, you've got to lead them into that. We've got about 2 minutes left in our entire interview today. And so I want to make sure that you get to express critical thoughts or techniques that you've seen work for you for coaches. So let me just kind of open up the floor. What are the other important messages that you want to make sure that people take away today?
Well, I think it's incredibly important that coaches realize their value and what a gift and opportunity is to help people transform their lives. And whether it's in business or in sport or in physical exercise, taking stock in the role is really important. Using it with authority and yet a humbleness so that students understand that you don't walk above them, that you walk alongside of your clients. Certainly the authority, and make no mistake about that, but that you're in the process with them, not separate from them and not above them. They drive, but you're right there next to them. And I suppose the last thing is never underestimate the value, even your mediocre sessions or the ones that you feel least confident about, because sometimes it's a simple word. It's a gesture. It's an example that you give about your own personal life experience, some loss or success that you had that will really resonate with a client. And so don't minimize even your bad days because they can have monumental value.
Oh, great way of phrasing that. So I encourage everybody to take this to heart. In our final minute, part of getting your attitude straight and just leading a better life is being healthy. And so, Chris, could you invite people to learn from you about getting themselves in shape on your website?
Oh, gosh, yes. Yeah, that's exactly what we do with a whole lot of folks, whether it's NFL players or people battling cancer, coming back from strokes, heart disease, and these kinds of things. It's the monumental way, small changes over time, and it's very specific. It's science-based and human-centered.
All right, human-centered, and that is key. And how thrilling is it for you to see the positive effect that you have on people?
It's way better than winning world and national championships, both of which I've done.
Wow.
Is seeing ordinary folks transform their lives and have hope that didn't exist before we met.
Yes, yes. And let's take a moment to emphasize your credibility. Championships in?
Surf life saving.
Wow.
Yeah, paddle boarding, Ironman racing, swim, paddle, surf ski.
And you find some place to do that here in San Diego?
Oh, yeah. I'm former San Diego lifeguard. I still help out the city of San Diego, and I train the San Diego canoe and kayak team.
So an amazing background that has led to some amazing insights that can create monumental results. Learn about him at monumentalresults.com. Back next time here on The Coaching Show, powered by WSRadio.com.